You are now listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans, with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart.
What number episode are we?
Seven. Lucky number seven.
Are we seven, are we? There we go.
Lucky number seven.
I wasn't paying enough attention to your clapperboard intro. Yes, no, number seven. Season two. We are, as we record this, we're on the eve of, no, we're not on the eve, we're on the day of, we're on the eve of our last performance.
Yes.
We're on the actual day of our second to last performance.
So the penultimate show on a run of four. So show three of four of the Soul Trader, the duo Adelaide Fringe show.
It's just, I was watching a thing the other day, Hollywood Reporter, and it was like a round table where they have comedians and stuff like that. And
quality TV then.
Oh, no, this was really...
This was good.
Okay.
You were watching TMZ or
anything. No, it's a round table where they have say all the nominated comic actors for the Academy Awards all on a round table.
Oh, okay. Oh, that'd be cool.
I got to go, oh man, mental blank as to what I was going to say. I hate that.
It happens to me all the time, mate.
Let's just face it, they were saying funny stuff. You said something and it reminded me of that.
Right.
I don't know. I'd have to stop the recording, go back, listen to what you said.
Oh, don't worry about it. No, we'll continue on. Just as we're about to finish.
I'm having one of those old men moments.
Yeah. Just as we're about.
Oh, I know what it was.
You know what it was?
I know what it was.
Okay.
Drum roll. They were joking about the Last Supper and going, and one of them, they're at the Last Supper, they're going, hang on, what? Last Supper? You know, the people attending are going, huh? The Last Supper? Yes, they didn't know it was going to be the Last Supper. It's like,
so it sounds like you had to be there to appreciate it.
Well, no. Not if you understand. Anyway.
That's all right.
We are, as I said, we've got our last couple of gigs coming up and the Fringe is wrapping up. So when you're hearing this, we will be done.
Yes.
So by the time you hear this, it'll be too late to get tickets to our show. But the Fringe will be basically wrapping up.
On the Sunday.
On the Sunday after this podcast kind of goes live. There's a lot going on in the world at the moment. There's wars and stuff, but, the pandemic kind of is still there, but it's becoming less of a thing.
And it's amazing how, pandemic restrictions become less and less because we're all sort of adjusting to the so-called new normal. And I hate that term, but anyways, we're all adjusting to sort of the post-pandemic life, and then all of a sudden war starts. It's like, how much drama can we put into the psyche of the world? We can only watch on and sort of be horrified as to what's going on at the moment. I couldn't even begin to imagine what it would be, and I'm not even going to pretend to, imagine what it would be like for people that are sort of close to that situation. And it's sort of, for people like us in Australia, it just reminds us of how sort of incredibly fortunate that we are to be here and not there, I suppose, and the preciousness of life and all of that.
There's a whole... I was going to say there's a whole podcast. There's actually a podcast I heard on the radio just on the way here. Actually, they were talking about podcasts, and I was tempted to ring in again and go Soul Trader podcast. But they were talking about Ukraine Cast, which is like a daily BBC kind of update on the kind of stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, it's one of those things where, there's so many. There's so many different takes on it. I mean, obviously, not that particular conflict, but the fact that, isn't it interesting that, you know, there's this conflict and people are just going, they're people like you and me. And it's just like, you know, it's all the white people just going, you know, they're people just like us. And it's just like, yeah, but once, when something like this goes down in Africa or the Middle East, you just get, oh yeah, those people. And it's just like, so it is interesting that this one is kind of viewed slightly differently because it's kind of on their doorstep. Yeah. It's on Europe's doorstep. And it kind of, you know, it has that flip side, which is like, well, you're paying a lot of attention to this one, but there's also a lot of, and this is obviously a big one, but there's also a lot of other shit that goes on in the world, and we kind of ignore that, or we send planes in, you know, Syria and all this kind of stuff.
Mm.
And it's just interesting that, you know, I mean, but that's it's probably a discussion that should be had by, you know, wiser minds than us, or at least
people that are experts in the field.
But it just is one of those things where it's very sad to kind of see it happening, and yeah, it's you know, there's actually an Australian guy called what's his channel called, Willie Beating Cancer, and he's an ex Australian soldier who went to Afghanistan,
right?
But he was diagnosed with terminal inoperable brain cancer,
right?
But it's only kind of, I assume, having an effect very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is, I found him on YouTube. Just, I follow a few car channels, and he popped up as he had a Subaru WRX, which he had completely specced out, and he made a little kind of, you know, mini movie on this, mm-hmm, car.
Yeah.
And I found his channel that way. And, you know, he's just doing some...
Is that like, you know, one of the first ones that could beat a Porsche the standing start?
Oh.
Because those first WRXs were insane.
Yeah, this is more of a recent one, but it's still, you know, it's a really... His was a really nice looking car, but he ended up selling it. And, you know, he does some vlogs occasionally.
Yep.
And then he popped up... I mean, I subscribed to his channel, and he popped up recently as... Going there. He actually went. He's, I'm going to go to the Ukraine border, and just as a, you know, kind of journalist, he was like saying, this is kind of what I'd like to do, is be a journalist to these kind of areas. I mean, he says fuck quite far too often to get a job with most TV stations, but his channel. You
get a job with Gordon Ramsay, though.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, but his channel, he went to the border before it broke out, and everybody was saying, oh, war won't break out. So then he was obviously meeting people in these kind of border towns and chatting to them and doing some videos. And his channel, I don't actually know what it was on before this. I think probably like 5,000 maybe subs.
Yeah.
And I think he's got 44,000 subs now at the time of recording this. I think I looked yesterday because he uploaded a video a couple of days ago. So he got out, and I'm not sure where he is now, maybe Poland. But he had a video of him crossing the border.
Yeah.
And that got 1.4 million views. And his other videos have got thousands of views. And obviously his subs have just gone vertical in terms of the graph. But, yeah, I mean, it takes some balls to go there. And he obviously had a bit more awareness in those sorts of situations than other people kind of might. Obviously the fact that he'd been in a war zone before, but he didn't have body armour and he wasn't a recognised journalist. So,
sure.
And to see the fact that journalists are getting killed now,
because
the Russians are just like, we don't care. You know, like, seemingly. Yeah. He's an interesting kind of channel. And
well, I want to just put out a bit of a shout out. One of our earlier guests, Amanda West,
mm-hmm,
in season one, one of our earlier guests, she is actually opening up her house for a Ukrainian single mother and her mother and her two children, one aged, two girls, 4 months and 20 months.
Right.
I think at the moment the mother, kids and the grandmother,
mm-hmm,
are on their way or are in Poland at the moment.
Right.
And they have friends there who have bought air tickets to Ireland And they're going to be staying for an indefinite period of time with Amanda. So I was on chat with her last night, and she was telling me all about it. And I put forward 100 euros to her. She's not a type of person that likes to, Amanda's not a type of person to ask about help or anything like that. But she put something up on Facebook sort of explaining, you know, what she was doing. And the reason why she was doing it was because there was something that Airbnb were doing in which you could donate to Ukrainians directly via Airbnb. So you book a room of theirs, but don't go to the room, but the money goes directly to them. So Amanda thought, oh yeah, that's a great idea. And she found this particular woman, I think her name is Dana, through that. So she, you know, because she had a room on Airbnb for 20 euros a night. So she did that and was able to communicate with her. And Dana, and if it's not her name, I don't know. But anyway, Dana said to Amanda about her situation. And she said, well, you need to get out. And I have a house with rooms. So come and live with me. Let's work it out. So this all has transpired over a week, and so it looks like it's going to be happening. And you know, there's a lot of people that have sort of donated, or she's put up an Amazon registry, you know, baby registry and all that sort of stuff, and people are participating in that. And I just wanted to sort of acknowledge through the podcast that it's just a fucking amazing thing that she's doing. And you know, it's things like that that happen that enable you to have sort of faith in human beings. Because, you know, when the shit hits the fan, you know, it is amazing, you know, the power of human generosity comes out. Now, I was talking to Amanda about it last night, and she said, well, you know, people are saying that, oh, you know, you're amazing and this and that, and I don't see anything amazing about it. It's just like there's a situation, and it's like, of course it's fucking amazing. You don't know this woman from a bar of soap, and you've just said to her, come all the way across the country and come and live with me. You don't know what she's like. Mm. You know, many, many people would be more than happy just to donate and keep things at an arm's length, you know, whereas you're rolling up your sleeves and saying, well, I'm gonna do this journey with you when you arrive. Mm. You know, that's just brilliant. You know?
Yeah.
So not everyone would do that, but that's... But, you know, that's all right. You know, people are either going to do that or they're going to donate to the cause to help you do it better, you know.
Yeah.
So that's okay. We're all working together. There's not much I can do in Australia about that. I can't get them to, you know, go across the bloody ocean to come to my place. It's too far. And she said, well, you do. Well, what if someone from New Zealand was having issues like that? And I said, well, they're fucking New Zealanders. Of course. I'd say, no, you stay there, bro. You know? Sorry, I've just alienated all the New Zealanders. No, no, of course not. But they'd be too far away. But I don't know. It's like, it's a hypothetical question. I don't know if anything. No one would invade New Zealand. It'd be too far away, wouldn't it? But anyway, that's beside the point. So I just wanted to shout out to a good friend of ours, Amanda, and just let her know that, mate, you're doing an amazing job.
Mm, absolutely.
And, you know, keep us informed as to what's going on, and, you know, we can...
Roast
little snippets in the future podcast as to how it's all going, if it's relevant, if it's applicable, and if it's appropriate.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's... No, I mean, I kind of like to think that if I was in a position like that, like I had a house and I could do something, you know. And I mean, it's one of those things where it's just like it's as you say, it's hypothetical if you throw it this way and kind of go, would you do it? And it's just like, I like to think I would, but I you know, you don't know. It is a big ask.
It is a big ask. But then again, I mean, you know, in Australia, you know, we've, especially, well, the eastern side of Australia has been pretty much underwater. And the power of the human spirit has come through that, in terms of people just rolling up their sleeves and saying, well, yeah, I don't know you, but you need help. You know, we'll clean your house of all the muck from the floods, and, you know, and they did that with the bushfires, and you know, in terms of that sort of stuff, yeah, I'd be rolling up my sleeves and giving people a hand as well, you know, because that's just what you do, you know.
Yeah.
I
mean,
it's like
we've had the floods last year. I mean, there's been storms all across the UK and Europe, and they had the ones last year. I mean, it's one of those things where it's a bit freaky. I mean, we had storms just in Renmark. I was there for a gig on the weekend, and when I drove home, there was like the trees that you get down the side of Australian country roads.
Mm-hmm.
Just there were just sections where they were just all flat.
Right,
and it's just like a tornado. Tornado had come through.
Okay, they're pretty hardy trees, those.
Yeah, and they're already kind of a bit.
They're all battle hardened and blown down by the wind.
Yeah, exactly. So they're all kind of on an angle anyway. But this was sections where they'd been blown down, and you know, there was the flooders in Germany last year, where like entire towns kind of just got swept away.
Yeah,
and I mean, I think it's one of those things where it's the world's. The world's always a challenging place. I feel like at the moment it feels more challenging because we've all kind of lived through the coronavirus. And we were speaking about it, I reckon episode maybe one of or two of this series, where we were talking about I'm going to have a mental blank on the guy's name again and the book. I've got to get the book.
Jordan Peterson.
No, we were talking about the guy who's writing about the wave of trying to be creative when there's this uncertainty. And he said one of his things was that back in the day you used to get chased by a bear, and if you got chased by a bear you'd be on edge the next day, and then you get chased by a bear again, so you're even more on edge. And when there's a risk of getting chased by a bear, it's good to be on edge, but when there isn't the risk, you don't want to be freaking out all the time. And that the thing that all these things kind of bring to the fore when you're not actively dealing with him yourself.
Yeah.
You know, there is multiple courses of action. It's either, hey, I've got the time and resources, I can go and help, you know, and there's people wanting to go to the Ukraine and getting turned away. Like there was videos of guys, I go to the gym, I'm going to go and fight in the Ukraine. And the Ukraine goes, we don't want you. You've never fired a gun.
Yeah.
You're completely useless to us. You go in the gym, you know, you take your growth hormones or your powder, you know, protein shakes, and you think you can fight a war because in the gym you feel like a big man.
Yeah.
That's not the people we need. But the thing is, you know, like, what are you better off doing? Well, you know, like for yourself, I mean, you've gone, well, Amanda, I can donate some money. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're better off focusing on the things you can focus on.
Yeah.
Earning some money, trying to you know, further yours, so you can go, well, I can help in other ways. It's like musicians. Like musicians, big musicians give their name to a cause.
Yeah.
And sometimes they donate as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's plenty of Hollywood people who are donating massive amounts of money, you know, to the, you know, agencies who are helping in the Ukraine with all the people who have been displaced. But, you know, they'll do a concert where they give their time, and their time is money. And but by using their success, they can, you know, bring other people on board.
Sure.
And people kind of go, why don't they give more? And it's just like, well, you know, they give to multiple
causes. They give what they give.
Yeah.
You know, how long's a piece of string?
It's there is the challenge of just getting on with your life and doing your things. It's not affecting you right now. It's not that you're not aware of it, but it can be hard also to kind of get on with life. And you know, just keep working and earning your money so you can give in other ways. Like you can do a bit of donating here or, you know, somebody approached us the other day about they're putting together some fundraisers for the floods in New South Wales and Queensland. And those floods are pretty bad. I mean, those floods have literally wiped out entire towns.
Hmm.
So there's no infrastructure. And we had a housing crisis in Australia beforehand. Where in those towns there was nowhere to rent.
Yeah.
And they were talking to a lady from one of those towns.
Now there's nowhere to live.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this woman said, I live in the town and, you know, I thought, I have to find a place to live. I'll ring the real estate agent. And she goes, it didn't even occur to me that they'd been wiped out as well.
Yeah.
Their business and their house and all the properties they rent out. She just didn't kind of think. She thought they'll be able to find me somewhere to live.
Yeah.
And then the realization that there isn't anywhere to live and we can rebuild, but we have to wait for the water to go down and we have to clean up the mess and, you know, we have to worry about, is there more water coming, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it can be difficult to you know, just keep on keeping on when there's all that kind of noise and of stuff, you know, when I say noise in the media, like every time you turn the TV on or look on social media or look online, you're bombarded with all the reporting.
Yeah.
But there's people out there who need a respite from that. And if they come to our podcast and all we're doing is talking about only those things, then we aren't the respite. So I was going to say we can talk about kind of the world, the war aside, but with the pandemic kind of starting to ease even more now.
Yeah.
And maybe some of our expectations and where we see things kind of, like we're talking about mask mandates. We've still got mask mandates in South Australia, or most of Australia, I think, indoors.
Yeah.
And they're talking about that. That hasn't actually been dropped, but they're talking about the fact that it might be dropped soon. And vaccine mandates are getting dropped fairly widely. And that's not because vaccines are... It's because vaccines are working. You know, for any anti-vaxxers who might be listening. You know, mandates are being dropped because enough people are now vaccinated.
Mm.
And the vaccine works. That you can afford to drop the mandates because the small percentage of people who are left who are unvaccinated are effectively, with all vaccines, protected by the majority of people who are vaccinated. They're kind of, you know, a lot of that stuff's being pared back and we can travel internationally and things like that. So, interesting to see where you kind of unfold.
So I suppose the question is, well, what's next?
For the industry more broadly than specifically you and I.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's what we were talking about before we started the podcast. Is that,
yeah, I mean, obviously we've spoken a little bit about kind of what we're planning to do in the next kind of thing, but I think it's interesting touching on where the industry might be heading.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, getting closer to home, there is a new venue being opened up in Adelaide or being developed, which is taken over the old the old Front Page in Hindley Street. And for people outside of Adelaide who wouldn't know what that is, don't worry. But it's an 1800 seat sort of venue called, I can't remember what it's called now, but anyway.
Something on Hindley.
Yeah, one of the guys from Powderfinger who owns a couple of venues.
Is it Hindley Street Music Hall or something like that?
Oh, something like that, yeah, yeah. Hindley Street Music Hall.
So it's replicating something they've done elsewhere, but the Front Page, was that kind of...
That was an old cinema that was converted into a venue that was pretty...
Well, that was the venue, but it's not...
It's not the venue. Not further down. Not the venue called the venue. No, that's further down.
Yeah.
Now, this was pretty much in the centre of Hindley Street.
So is it the old...
the old Front Grady, Page.
Is it, so that was the old Greater Union, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Greater Union Cinema, I think, maybe. Right,
and okay. It's been empty for decades and they've decided to open it up again.
Yeah. I remember going there back in the day.
I remember playing there back in the day.
I mean, I went there as a...
One of the last gigs that I played with a band before we went over to Sydney was the Graveyard Shift at the Front Page.
Right.
And fucking awesome. But but the Graveyard Shift started like 1 o'clock or something in the morning, you know, sort of 1 till 3 or something like that. Oh, yeah. He was rocking back in the early to mid-90s.
Before my time as a... as a performing musician.
That's, you know, all these crusty old musicians are saying, right, that was the good old days. You used to get paid lots of money for, you know, all that sort of stuff. The good old days never existed. They were just as shit as they are now, just different shit, basically. But you were paid better. Yeah, you know, I found that interesting because that's a big nod to a big confidence boost and a big nod to live music in this town.
Because, and I think they're trying to fit into a – they're trying to fit what is it, between the Gov and Thebe Theatre, which are two of the venues here in town.
Yeah.
Which is like
– capacity size.
Yeah, sorry, yes.
There's no real – venues with, you know, sort of larger than 1,000 capacity, you know, between say 1,000 and 2,500. I think 2,500 is the Thebe Theatre, and the capacity for the Governor Hindmarsh is 800. So, you know, you want something in between that. It's hard to find. So that would definitely fill in the gap. Sort of mid-level touring artists would be able to utilise that. There was another venue called Heaven, which was at the Newmarket Hotel, and that's been closed down because of the new hospital that was built, you know, the Royal Adelaide. That's no longer there. So that sort of filled in the gap. So once that closed down, I think it's closed now. Whole range of things. So, you know, the microcosm of what's happening on the macro is that in Adelaide, you know, things are looking a little better in terms of live music. There's been a real sort of nod given to a new venue. People are starting to go out again. The amount of people that are jumping up and down saying, oh my God, we can dance again.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's like, oh, I didn't know that was such a deal breaker. I kind of really enjoyed playing music to people who just shut up and didn't dance and fucking listened. I really enjoyed that. Now you're going to have drunk idiots saying, well, can you play something we can dance to
again? I've enjoyed...
Because normally if they said that, it's like, well, you're fucking mandated not to dance. Shut up and sit down and listen.
I've enjoyed that in some of the venues that I play where, you get the drunk idiots, for knocking into your mic stand and trying to knock your teeth out.
Yeah, you can't legislate against stupidity, though.
No, I mean, I can see it, like,
But they're making it such a big thing. It's like, oh my God, you know, it's like it. Is your life that shallow that bloody?
There's a section of the industry though, because dancing and drinking, obviously, it doesn't affect us, but as much. But if you're in a band, playing kind of, you know, cover band,
sure,
and you're a drummer or a bass player and you don't have an outlet to go and play solo gigs or something like that, then it's probably been a fairly, you know, tough time still, even to this point. I mean, I took a screenshot even since Omicron was let into South Australia because we had no cases. My graph of really tall kind of skyscrapers and then, you know, like tiny little, you know, in terms of how much money I'm earning from music.
Yeah.
It's in the toilet. You know, this month will be a little bit better. Mm. And hopefully with the other thing that's been dropped, so we don't have any, the thing that will help me is we had capacity limits. And the only thing hasn't been dropped is the mask. So there's no capacity limits anymore, pretty much.
Yeah.
So you can go back to packing people in, which will hopefully encourage some smaller venues to have the musician in the corner again. Whereas before they were like,
I think it will.
We don't need to. But you know, one thing that a lot of the experts say is they go, you don't need, you know, the people were saying during the pandemic, they were going, you don't need to go out to a nightclub. And it's like, yes, I get that the patrons can be, you know, you just need to stay at home. But when you say you don't need to go out to a nightclub, what you're forgetting is that people work in nightclubs, you know, DJs, you know, or if it's a venue, musicians, bar staff, security. And to say just, well, you just don't need to do that at the moment. It's just like, that's fine. But the government stopped supporting us like they did so well in the beginning.
Mm.
And you know, so my income dropping off in the last couple of months, there's been no replacement for that money.
Yeah.
So my, you know, without going into specifics, I mean, literally my savings, you know, a couple of thousand dollars a month, you know. in the negative, basically. You know, I've been, you know, I basically pay my way through using my what I'd saved up previously. Which they can go, well, you had that saved up. And it's just like, yeah, trying to buy a house. Mm. I wasn't expecting to spend it on food.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. So it's...
Well, thankfully, things are looking a little better. I mean, so I am encouraged with the fact that, you know, venues have the confidence to start getting, you know, music happening again. And also, too, I think the prevailing sort of attitude around the place is that people are realizing that, you know, life's pretty boring without music out and about. You know, it's been pretty quiet.
Oh yeah.
On the music front, it's been pretty quiet on the live gigs front. It's been pretty quiet on the, you know, entertainment front, on the sort of live performance and you know, no music in venues makes for a very dull population. And I suppose one of the reasons why people are elated that they can get out and dance again, I suppose it's an indicator that things are getting better. And you know, who am I, you know, to stand in the way of, you know, people feeling good about sort of getting out and, you know, experiencing life again.
I think the other thing that comes from that is, like with it opening up again, and certainly we are certainly heading in that direction. You know, it's and for a lot of people, you know, I think it's starting to look more positive. And the thing is that, I think the other thing that's going to happen is people are really going to realize how much they missed, kind of, you know, like when we started this podcast by talking about the fact that there's stuff going on in the world, but, we haven't been able to live a normal life, so I think people are going to kind of realize how much they missed music,
yeah,
and there's going to be more. I think hopefully more enthusiasm for going out and seeing bands.
More enthusiasm for just experiencing live music. More enthusiasm for just experiencing life, you know, which, of course, you know, music and you know, listening, performing or experiencing live music is part of that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's important.
I think we're like, I reckon here in Australia, we're not far away from that. But the frustrating thing is, I still think that we're a little way away from it,
yeah,
because we still, you know, like I've had people for our gig tonight who are close contact, so they can't come along because there's close contact rules where you have to isolate if you're close contact. And it's just like when you're already, you know, trying to put on shows and get an audience in, and it's like you have if you had a family of four coming along, you know,
it's just wiped
boom,
out.
Boom, yeah. Gone.
Yeah,
you have a couple coming along with their friends. Well, what if they've all been out together on the weekend and now they're all close contacts or something like that? I mean, I think you have to live together, but you know, it can very easily still affect live performance. But I really think that you know, this by the end of this year, it's especially when we go back into summer again, because it's pretty warm today. I think it's about 36 today. Mm. But, you know, as we go through our winter and come back out the other side, hopefully there's a renaissance that's, you know,
yeah,
framed out as that so. In terms of...
But I suppose all the stuff that's happening in the world at the moment sort of also it reminds us that, you know, we do need to keep things in perspective as well. And... you know, we have that balance of perspective and elation, really.
Mm.
You know, it's like, yep, things are sort of slowly but surely coming back to normal, but at the same time, you know, it's not happening everywhere. So we just need to have that perspective. And having that perspective sort of rounds us out as better people at the end of the day.
Yeah. Oh, look, I mean, the interesting thing that we haven't had here yet, I mean... We've had some, you know, festival stuff going on and Fringe and Wombat on the weekend, but, you know, big touring acts aren't coming to Adelaide just yet. You know, there's big concerts. You know, and I think the thing, I think
that would probably be the last indicator that things are getting back to some sort of normality.
Yeah. But I think there's an element that big side of town helps drive the bottom side of town as well, in a sense.
Sure. Like, yeah, well, they drag everybody along.
Yeah, they get everybody excited about music and kind of going out and pumped up. And, you know, if they're pumped up about that stuff, they're pumped up potentially about, you know, seeing other people perform. And it's a whole ecosystem where it doesn't really function without all the parts kind of pulling in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just starting to see the trains just kind of trying to slowly pull out of the station and get things moving at the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think there's already some tours booked of bigger acts coming back to Australia. Yeah.
Fuel the fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly. If you're listening to this, sorry, you missed out on our Fringe show. We're really disappointed with that. But if
you had come along to one or all of them or any in between, thank you so much for coming out and experiencing what Simon and I have to offer in the guise of Soul Trader, the duo, the show, two guys, two guitars, two voices, one harmony.
Mm.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah, exactly. But we will be doing more stuff. I mean, we mentioned in one of our early podcasts, but the big thing for us is, which, as I said, we mentioned previously, but for us, the kind of coming months, I mean, we get into the cooler months, we're not going to be doing a lot of live stuff, although we have been, as I said, approached about maybe doing a fundraising gig, which we're open to things like that, but hitting the studio pretty hard.
Yep.
Coming out with a bunch of stuff.
Bunch of new music.
The other thing, I guess that, topic for another day, but it will be interesting to see how kind of the industry, does it evolve, does it change, you know, in this new world of potential threats, like, you know, another virus another virus coming along or something. You know, I mean, we had been warned about it for many years and didn't listen.
It's too early to tell.
But it'll be interesting to see whether we kind of evolve. I mean, we, with what we're doing recording-wise, if what we're doing musically, if you've listened to a bit of that and it interests you, we want to be, you know, have an element of interactivity about that. I mean, we've spoken about it for a long time, and I'm not talking about kind of this episode or even the podcast. I'm talking about years and years about wanting to kind of allow people, if it's something they'd like to do, is kind of have input into which songs we record or what we release next, or, you know, what they'd like to hear a version of. And, you know, we'll be doing our original stuff. We will be doing, you know, in an online space, you know, throwing up some kind of Soul Traderified covers of some songs here and there. But, you know, if you're interested in what we record, the songs we're kind of writing and performing in our live streams, there's an opportunity to kind of follow along and, you know, have some input as to kind of which direction we go. Well, we kind of, we'll have a selection of songs and, you know, happy for people to kind of, through, you know, a bit of a popularity contest in terms of the songs that kind of get requested the most, then they're the ones that we'll record next, kind of thing.
I think it's still important to, whatever online concepts that we're going to be putting forward, whether it be, you know, audio or whether it be as the podcast or whether it be with video, that we continue on with that. As we discussed last week, you know, continuing that concurrently with the live performance. You know, I'm a really firm believer that, you know, you're able to cultivate and create, cultivate, manage and grow your tribe and your community around yourself and your music via the online sphere, just as much as you can going out and performing live in front of people. You know, they're two different different tactics, but just as important as to each other. So, you know, it's important that we keep on going with that and that we take people along with us, you know, and this is one of the ways in which we're doing that. So, yeah, so thank you for tagging along, you know, on the Soul Trader bus, and, we'll continue to,
you'll have to pay for, help us pay for the petrol.
Well, yeah, yeah, I know. There was someone on Facebook that was saying, hey, can someone go halves in me for a full tank of petrol? And
well, on that, remember, just we're not going to segue into another conversation. Go and listen to the episode with George Holliday, because he mentioned when he first started traveling around in his studio bus, he wasn't really earning any money, and somebody he never even met
gave him
his credit card details so he could buy a tank of fuel.
Yeah.
And
again, that displays the power of human generosity, the power of humanity, you know, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a one-on-one or a group-by-group or a country-by-country basis, you know, really at the end of the day, you know, we all want to help each other out.
Yeah.
You know, we're all pretty decent people inside. If you know, some people got to dig really deep to find it, but it's there, you know, and, you know, situations like that, it instills your faith in humanity, because I tell you what, sometimes you just feel like putting the doona over the top of your head and just fucking stay in there, because it's just all too much. And you know, it's good to hear stories like that.
Absolutely. Now look, if you're out there and you want to be along for the ride, we'll try not to ask for petrol money, but jump on the Soul Trader bus with us. But follow us across social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, obviously the other channels that relate to this podcast as well. Join in the kind of conversation here on the podcast, but also the conversation over on the music channels as well. There's kind of so much stuff that we've got in the works that we're kind of, you know, keeping kind of.
We'll roll it out bit by bit. Don't you worry.
There's plenty
coming. Keep you in the loop.
There's plenty coming. So, stay tuned, and we'll chat to you next week on the Soul Trader podcast after we've finished our last two nights here at the Adelaide Fringe.
Absolutely. But wherever you are, have a beautiful weekend, and thanks for joining us.
See ya.
Ciao for now.
Been listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans, with your hosts Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart. Be sure to check out soultradermusic.com and Corey Stewart online.com. See you next week.